On a Monday, we meet the secretary designee of the Department of Financial Institutions, or DFI, on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. So recall that former secretary Kathy Blumenfeld was appointed by Governor Evers to run the Department of Administration at the beginning of the year. And at that time, the then deputy secretary, Cheryl Olson Collins, was named to DFI's top post. Native of Portage, more than two decades in the private banking sector before joining DFI in 2007. What do you want to ask her about regulating and overseeing state-chartered financial institutions, like in the area of mortgage banking, credit unions, or securities and corporations? It's 800-642-1234. Secretary Designee Cheryl Olson Collins, welcome to the Ideas Network.
I appreciate the invite. Thanks, Kate.
Well, acquaint us first. Tell us what you think you bring to leading DFI.
Well, as you have stated, I've been with the state since 2007, so in different capacities within the department. So I know all of the different divisions, and I understand how state government works. And then I also bring the private sector experience in, which I think is invaluable, to tell you the truth. So I have two different perspectives, and I think it makes for a good synergy into leadership.
Why is working in the private sector so important to being effective in DFI?
Well, I'm not saying it has to be the only reason or, you know, the most important reason, but what I think it brings is you have a different appreciation for the day-to-day work that institutions or people do in the private sector. For an example, it really makes a difference when we're regulating, say, banks and credit unions. I can understand what the bankers and are going through. They look at a lot of different aspects. When we're regulating, we look at specific policies, procedures that have been determined will equal safety and soundness of the institution. I think those can merge very nicely with the fact that we take a collaborative approach, and that is, I think, very important. It's important to our banks and credit unions, and it also is important to customers because we don't do a gotcha mentality. We try to help the institutions do exactly what they need to do for the safety and soundness of their customers. And so I think we have a mutual respect and I think a mutual understanding. And that I think if you ask any of our institutions, credit unions or banks, they'll reiterate that sentiment.
You've walked in both shoes, so to speak.
Right.
Can you lay out your top priorities for DFI and how we, as Wisconsinites, would know DFI is working for us?
I think, you know, it's kind of funny, but I think DFI is that kind of quiet agency in the background that has a lot of power in day-to-day lives that people don't even really realize. So what we do, I think a theme that runs through both themes that run through our agency is protection and education. And you'll find that everywhere. So when we're regulating, when we're examining, whether that be securities broker dealers, banks or credit unions, we're trying to protect the public. Education as well, when we talk about financial inclusion and capability, certainly education comes in there. But also, I know it's probably interesting to some of your listeners about the Ukraine and the conflict and what that has brought out, whether it be some charity scams or cyber risk, that type of thing. So we try to educate. We work behind the scenes oftentimes that people don't even realize. And then, of course, we're probably a little bit more open out there on financial literacy and inclusion. And I know this is the month for that, so we have a lot of stuff on that.
Going to get into that. But I just want to stop you right there. Has there been an uptick in charitable business formation that you've seen in the pandemic times and in these times of war in Ukraine?
That's a good question. Yes, I mean, there is an uptick. And I think what consumers have to realize, you know, it's really interesting. Wisconsinites are so generous. And, you know, it really tugs at your heartstrings to see the news and watch the horrific events that are unfolding there. but you do have to be careful, right? And so there have been more. You need to do your research before sending any money to charities claiming to help those affected by the Russian invasion on Ukraine. Mm. They, you know, the scammers see tragedies as a way to line their pockets. Now, we have a place on our website that you can look up whether or not the charity is registered. You don't want to just send money or cash. You want to do a little bit of research before you send your hard-earned dollars. And we advocate for, you know, if you want to send money and help people, we think it's wonderful. We just want you to be smart so that the money goes to the intended place. But yes, there has been an increase, and there's been more scams. People mm-hmm. will call and high-pressure pitches and want you to wire money. And so you do have to be careful in that way.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the Department of Financial Institutions Secretary Designee Cheryl Olson Collins, looking at more of the inner workings of the agency and what you want to know. What questions do you have for the head of DFI? Are you concerned that you won't be ready to begin repayments of student loans later this year? What could Wisconsin do to improve financial literacy? 800-642-1234. So I'm thinking about soaring home prices and your agency regulating loan originators and mortgage makers and brokers. And in the 2008 housing crisis, big banks were fined by the Justice Department for subprime lending, in which black borrowers were more likely than white borrowers to receive these risky loans. How do you make sure Wisconsin homebuyers are protected in these times and not taken advantage of by banks in lending for homes?
Well, first of all, I will say this. In Wisconsin, we have excellent financial institutions, whether they be the banks or the credit unions. They were not involved in the scams that occurred with the large institutions on the coast. We have that Midwest ethic, and our individual banks and credit unions are incredibly ethical, and they did a very good job during that crisis. Now, you know, mortgage brokers and mortgage dealers, you have to be careful. And again, I say do research. Know who you're doing your business with. We do regulate them. We do not have enough people to regulate all of the entities that are out there. And so it's important. We do hit all of our banks and credit unions. There's 150 banks and 111 credit unions right now. And we do go in and we regulate and we examine those institutions. So that was more of a bigger federal fail than in Wisconsin. I think there are discrepancies. And I think that banks learned a lot from that and credit unions as well. So I think it's not as much of an issue as far as safety and soundness. But, you know, they do talk about a housing bubble coming. You know, mm-hmm. prices, as everybody knows, are going up and up and up. Mm-hmm. And certainly that could be an issue. However, the inventory of houses is still low. There's a huge demand. It's not just a shell game of buy and sell to make money. There's actual demand out there for housing.
I just want to clarify here. Is your agency short of workforce? Do you need more people if you are not able to fully regulate or oversee the banks?
Not the banks, the credit unions.
The credit unions.
We certainly, yeah. We have both, we have a mandate, and we make that mandate every year. The examinations of banks and credit unions take place every 12 to 18 months. We have not missed a statutory deadline on that.
Okay.
What I'm saying, though, is on some of the mortgage brokers, mortgage dealers, and some of the licensed financial services, there are thousands. And so we do have a staff. At some point, I would love to be accredited in the mortgage area. We are not in Wisconsin at this time. We don't have the capability at this time to do that with people. It's not to say that we do not examine those entities, because we do. It's just that it is probably, I have to be honest, probably more on a complaint basis oftentimes, because we don't have quite as many examiners as we would like.
DFI, Department of Financial Institutions, Secretary Designee Cheryl Olson Collins stays with us. What do you want her to prioritize in regulating state chartered banks, regulating credit unions? How do you want banks and credit unions to operate amid soaring inflation, difficult economic times? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Financial Institutions, DFI, it regulates banks and credit unions, registers, and regulates charitable organizations, and administers the Wisconsin Consumer Act, regulating consumer credit transactions and debt collection. Are you in business, banking, or lending? Perhaps you're fundraising for your 501c3 charitable organization. What questions do you have about financial regulations here in Wisconsin? Join in 800-642-1234. DFI Secretary Designee Cheryl Olson Collins is with us for about 9 more minutes. So April being Financial Literacy Month here in Wisconsin, you're working to raise awareness about financial literacy, education, financial capability. Tell us what you're working on in this area.
Sure. Well, Governor Evers is always emphasizing connecting the dots to his cabinet. And the cabinet works collaboratively to try to help Wisconsinites from multiple fronts. For example, I've been working with DADCAP on student debt and consumer protection. I have also worked with OCI, or the Commissioner for Insurance, on flood insurance and how financial institutions can assist those consumers. There's many examples. Finance touches all aspects of our lives, be it personal or professional. And so we're all connected, interconnected, and working together, we're stronger and can offer more solutions. So there, all of the events right now, this is Governor Evers has proclaimed the month of April as Financial Literacy and Capability Month in Wisconsin. That's part of a nationwide effort to raise awareness about the importance of financial literacy, education, and financial wellness. I think it's shocking that 60% of Wisconsin residents can't correctly answer basic financial literacy questions. So this is this campaign is joined by Wisconsin banks and credit unions, the insurance and financial industries, state and federal agencies, consumer groups, and private sector. And it's everybody's goal to help Wisconsinites improve their personal and household financial stability. So we have lots of events this month. The first is Money Smart Week, which is right now, Saturday.
Money Smart Week underway, yes.
Yep, until April 16th. And it's free virtual campaigns, and in fact, 1 o'clock today, there's a Spend Smart, Eat Smart webinar presented by Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And again, that's talking a little bit about inflation. How can you make your grocery dollars, that type of thing, go farther? And today at 4 is Wisconsin 529 College Savings Program with the Milwaukee Public Library is conducting a webinar. It's at 4 to 5 today, and that's going to highlight the benefits of saving for higher education with a 529 savings plan and how to find and apply for grants and scholarships when the time comes. Tomorrow, Credit Build and Improvement. It's how Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will help you get your credit back in line. Wednesday, buying or refinancing a home, option and tools.
So lots of education going on here. Yeah. And really, you can find a webinar that perhaps is exactly what you're looking for to help you out. I just want to go to a call now. John is with us from Eau Claire. John, hi, what's on your mind?
Good morning. My question for the secretary is, how does the department notify or keep the citizenry apprised of the relative strength of the institutions that she regulates? As an example, in 2009, the largest credit union in the Chippewa Valley was privately known to be near failure, and yet her department did nothing to apprise the public of this danger. And I think the public should know these things.
John, thank you. Secretary.
Yes, well, we actually, there is a mechanism for doing that. First of all, we will report out on a quarterly basis the status of all banks and credit unions and their financial condition, not by name, but in generalities. If an institution is on the brink of failure, In banking, you will see the FDIC does a report. The ratings of individual banks are not out there. But if a bank is in such dire shape, then that will be listed. However, what you've got to remember is both our credit unions and our banks are insured. Consumers are not going to lose money either by the FDIC or the NCUA. Their money is protected in those institutions.
So that those federal protections are there to help state residents here. But you said you also feel that there is adequate disclosure if a bank or credit union is on shaky ground.
Well, if it's okay, so let me explain this as well.
Sure.
So we as examiners go into banks and credit unions. We also have our federal counterparts with us at times. So they keep a hand on it as well because they're the insurers, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we have lots of eyes on our financial institutions in this state. And we work to improve, and we'll give an institution many items that they need to improve on if there's problems. And we watch it very, very closely. They have check-ins. We have more frequent visits into the institutions. And so it is watched very, very closely. And like I said, we don't want, let's say a bank is having trouble in a certain area. Well, you don't necessarily want to advertise that because people, the bank is not going to fail, the credit union's not going to fail, but yet people would get nervous about that. And you have the runs.
You have a run on the bank.
The banks, mm-hmm, and credit unions, like in the 20s. So we do watch it very carefully. We take Wisconsinites' protection very, very seriously. And in fact, our federal counterparts look at this very closely as well. And so we have a lot of eyes on the ball so that people do not lose money. And in fact, in Wisconsin, no consumer has lost any money on a failed bank or credit union.
Let me reintroduce you here, Cheryl Olson-Collins, Secretary Designee for the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. So companies file their annual reports with you through the Wisconsin One-Stop Business Portal. Which businesses file annual reports with your agency, and what do you do with that information?
Well, we are actually in our Division of Corporate and Consumer Services. We are ministerial in the sense that we take that information. We do not, unless they don't file, we do not have enforcement capabilities. So what we do with the information, it's on our website. You can search it. You can see what is out there for the individual corporations. We have partnerships, corporations, LLCs. The information is out there on who to contact if they are viable to do businesses or to do business. And for an example, credit unions or banks will often call to make sure that before they do a loan, to make sure that the business is registered with us.
Ah, I see. And so what if a business doesn't file their annual report or file it on time?
Well, they get plenty of notices, and if they don't, it's all defined in statute. What we will do is we will administratively dissolve the the business. Now, that doesn't mean they can't come back, pay their back fines registrations, and then get up to date. But they will not be considered a viable entity. And so where that would become a problem is if I wanted to get a loan, I'm not going to be able to get it unless I'm registered. Because the banks and credit unions are very, very diligent about looking at that. They have risk on the line, so of course they would be.
I want to land here. We only have a few seconds left. But can you tell us about the Wisconsin Consumer Act that you carry out and what that is?
Well, the Wisconsin Consumer Act is it's a protection for consumers in the state of Wisconsin. It defines everything from how you do a credit, how you do forms, are you doing the proper disclosures for people. The only problem with that act is the threshold is gotten lower and lower because, as we all know, things have gotten more and more expensive. But we do watch and try to protect consumers in that way by looking at the forms, looking at the disclosures. Are you following all the items per the statute? And that is out there in Wisconsin state statutes as well.
Secretary Olson Collins, thank you for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Kate.
Cheryl Olson Collins is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. Ahead this hour, the State Capitol Report continues with Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay is here. His district hugs the Bay of Green Bay. What do you want to discuss about relocating coal piles, about addressing PFAS contamination in Peshtigo and Marinette, or workforce issues? What are your takeaways from the legislative session? 800-642-1234 to join in. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.